The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In our series on disinformation on the web, we're talking about the lab leak conspiracy theory given a new lease of life, thanks to a very reputable news organization, the New York Times. Suspect timing there. Elon Musk's spat with the EU and a US-Poland pushback against Kremlin disinformation about the war in Ukraine. I'm joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, subtitled How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk and How Critical Thinking Can Save the World. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about the lab leak. I mean, this saga has been going on and on, and I thought they decided they could never know whether it was a lab leak or whether it was zoonotic coming from the wild and getting into humankind.
Oh. Weirdly enough, research has always been ongoing. There's a conception with some of the conspiracy theorists that, you know, the scientists aren't looking into this. Well, of course they are. Scientists have to look into every possible explanation. It just so happens that most of the evidence we have supports a natural evolution, a spillover event. We have, for example, a wet market linked outbreaks, which is very, very common. And the lab leak conspiracy theory has actually been doing the rounds since the advent of COVID. It was originally said that COVID was a bioweapon by certain people, fictitiously, with no evidence, of course, for this.
Didn't the Russians suggest that AIDS was a bioweapon?
They did indeed. In the mid-1980s, Russia, Soviet agents at the time, spread out disinformation that HIV and AIDS was a man-made, American-made weapon. And it backfired on them horribly. This is a thing called Operation Infection. It backfired on the Soviets horribly because AIDS was very, very real. And while American virologists had been working on it, when it actually came to Russia, they had to, under back diplomatic channels, ask for American help. And one of the conditions was, if you stop spreading that stupid rumor. They apologized for it formally in 1991 after the fall of communism. But it's funny that some people still believe that to this day. So once you let a bit of disinformation out, it can take many, many years to
reverse
it.
We'll be coming to disinformation by the Russians in a moment or two. But let's go back to this piece in the New York Times. Who wrote it?
The woman that wrote it is Dr. Lina Chan. Now, for about 3 years or 2 or 3 years, she's been promoting the idea that, and selling a book, I should point out, that there's a lab leak. She is a scientist, but she's not a virologist and she's not an expert in the field she speaks about. So she had a New York Times piece last week, an opinion piece I should put out, where she said that a lab leak was the most likely explanation for COVID-19. And she made a series of arguments that to a lay reader may have looked convincing. To actual virologists and experts, they saw it as a travesty. It was an absolute abuse of evidence. But because it was in a reputable outlet like the New York Times, it got more traction than maybe it deserved. This happened about a year ago in Vanity Fair, when Vanity Fair did a very similar thing with one of the colleagues of Alina Chan. So there's a little bit of lack of critical thinking. But there's a more cynical thing going on here too. The same day this piece was released in the New York Times in the opinion section, I should point out, Anthony Fauci, was being grilled
by Marjorie Taylor Greene and others.
Yes, so Marjorie Taylor Greene, for people who don't know, is a Republican in the US, but a very conspiratorially minded one.
She is what Pat Rabbit would call a fruitcake.
That's a polite way of putting it. She famously, a few years ago, blamed forest fires on, I quote, Jewish space lasers.
Oh my goodness.
So this is what we're talking about. So you have someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene taking some of the most, you know, decorated public health officials in the world, like and it was Tony Fauci's turn, to grill them and basically scream things at them. At the hearing, she refused to call him doctor. She says, I'm not calling you doctor because you're not a doctor.
She came out of the hearing and said he should be jailed for crimes against humanity.
She did. And then, incidentally, Elon Musk went and retweeted something very, very similar. But this is, of course, all hot air and nonsense. You know, Anthony Fauci is a very dedicated public servant who has a long track record going right back to the AIDS crisis and before it in public health. And this, the fact that it was timed in the New York Times on the same day as that hearing kind of feels like it was done to generate clicks. And there was a lot of scientists and commentators quite annoyed about that. So, again, it shows that even something can be in a reputable source and can still be nonsense. We have to learn to differentiate opinion from fact. The piece had no merit. And yes, it did frustrate an awful lot of scientists to see it put out there.
Now, this kind of conspiracy theories about diseases, so it goes all the way back to the Black Death.
Absolutely. So in the 1300s, when there was outbreaks of Black Death, there was an unfortunate tendency to try and scapegoat someone for it, to make it down to an individual. And that was usually the Jews. So in Strasbourg, for example, in, I think, 1347, there was about 2,000 Jews burnt at the stake that we have records for because they were claimed to be poisoning the well. In fact, we still use the expression poisoning the well for spreading misinformation about a person. Of course, they had nothing to do with Black Death, but people scapegoated. It is easier for us as humans to sometimes find a person to blame or someone responsible, yeah. then accept the fact that the world is quite random and diseases can just emerge, as they often do. Yeah.
And are we always looking for that simple explanation to any problem, no matter how complex?
We absolutely love simple explanations. It is cognitively much less expensive to believe something simple than to go, actually, this is complicated and many different things have to happen and we can't predict it. It's a thing in psychology called aversion to randomness. We really don't like to accept that things are complicated, multifactorial. It is easier to say, Bill Gates or George Soros did it for some people than to accept that a lot of random events happened and occasionally that leads to pandemics.
Now, we mentioned Elon Musk earlier in the program and his big payday, which will be voted on later today, and his difficulties, charges of sexual inappropriately behavior, insider trading and all of that. He's run foul of the EU as well.
He has indeed. So one of the EU commissioners recently, and very diplomatically, point out that he didn't really understand the context for why there's much talk about regulation of disinformation on social media. And she was putting it into the historical context that if you start spreading hatred about a particular group, and she was thinking about Europe in the 1930s, 1940s, that can have terrible consequences. Since Elon Musk has taken over Twitter, I refuse to call it X, since he's taken over Twitter, it always had a problem with hate speech, but that has become a much bigger thing. He doesn't seem to have any interest in the new EU regulations and the engagement he's supposed to, by law, be engaging with. But that's very much part of his character. Even his own Twitter feed is full of, as we mentioned just there, he was tweeting about Fauci being a criminal and things like that. He spreads disinformation all the time, and he's the richest man and arguably one of the most influential people in the world, worth every cent of the 56 billion, surely.
Now you say you don't call it X, you keep the name Twitter.
And yes, that's because I'm old, I think.
No, but you were given out about Marjorie Taylor Greene not calling Dr. Fauci.
Yeah. But I can still type in twitter.com and get to X, so I figured that still works. But it is a real problem because he's such an influential individual. And
you don't believe that the car company is worth at all what it says it is?
No, I'm definitely, I do not take financial advice from me at all, but I suspect that Tesla is grossly overvalued. But I do suspect there's a lot of hype going on, and Elon Musk is a master of hype. He gets himself, he has problems with insider trading because of that hype, or investigations about those, which you, I think you mentioned earlier on as well.
Now, talk to me about disinformation about the Ukraine war coming from Russia and how it's impactful.
There's been a huge uptick particularly in Eastern European nations that have Russian speakers. There's been a huge uptick in disinformation, and most of it is claiming, there's variants of this, but most of it is claiming that, particularly in Poland, that the Polish children will be co-opted in and made by the EU to fight the war in Ukraine. Very emotive stuff. And we've actually had that echoed by some fringe figures over here as well, or variants of it. It's entirely untrue. But it's become such a problem that Poland and the United States have set up an office together where they will try to combat and counter Kremlin disinformation. It's stepping up, particularly in the light of last week, when a lot of Western nations, we're going to use that term quite loosely, agreed to reduce some of the impediments on arms shipments that have happened before. So to back Ukraine a little bit more. And since then, there's been an explosion of this stuff to try and turn the Russian-speaking or a population in Eastern Europe against it, to scare them an awful lot.
People of a certain age will have had Russian as their second language throughout the Eastern Bloc.
Absolutely. So it's in English as well, I should point out, but it's mainly being targeted. This campaign is mainly being targeted at Russian speakers, and with the idea they'll be conscripted and they'll be forced conscription and they'll be made to go off to war in Ukraine. That is not true, and it's not at any part of a plan. And we know where it's coming from. It's been traced back to Kremlin-related bots. Mm. But the fact this has become such a problem that Poland has said to the United States, we need to set up something to do this. There's other countries involved. Canada, I think Australia are involved. There's a good few other countries involved because this actually is spreading out everywhere, but it's mainly centered in Poland. But it is indicative of the fact that this is a real problem. And if you get all disinformation is supposed to appeal to fears. So this is a really good, if you tell people their children are going to be conscripted if they support politician X, Y, or Z, that's enough to sometimes stop that support. And that's the cynical play here.
Here's a text coming in. Based on the documentary, there was an interesting point made that regardless of the source of the outbreak of COVID, that there's a certain amount of research that probably should not be happening at all. Researching some potential outbreaks that may not happen except for the risky research. The idea that we should be looking at existing problems but not necessarily researching very theoretical issues by bringing theory into practice. The idea there, you're looking at, say, I mean, smallpox has been eradicated effectively, right?
Yes.
So do you do work on smallpox, therefore having to keep stores of the virus so that might escape someday and bring smallpox back to the world?
There is still smallpox stored in labs, yeah, but very few labs, and they're usually bio-level safety 4 labs, so they're kept under there. And the idea there is that we can potentially research that if we need it for future things. Research is done on viruses to often work out how we can
combat
them in future, and we don't learn anything. And there's a safety hazard researching anything, so you have to be very careful about it. But the thing where that doesn't work with lab leak is you'd need to either be researching a virus that already existed, right, or somehow manipulating an existing virus to make it. And neither of that really explains what we've seen. So then there's a thing called Occam's razor, which is the idea that the explanation that requires the least additional unsupported assumptions is probably the preferred explanation. So if my car doesn't start in the morning and I've had battery problems before, it's probably a flat battery. It's probably not that rogue clowns broke in at night and stole my spark plugs. And unfortunately, lab leak is a little bit about, you know, the rogue clowns stole my spark plugs, when really I have a battery problem.
And David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk and How Critical Thinking Can Save the World. And let's hope so, David.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.